I'm Catherine Zanoni, living in faith, Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. More than anything else, however, we want to please him, whether in our home here or there, for all of us must appear before Christ to be judged by him. I was born in Pennsylvania, the ninth of 15 children, 12 whom are still living. My parents were very good Christians, taught us all how to love and serve the Lord. We prayed the rosary every night along with other prayers. We were a happy family. We lived on a farm. We all had our chores and worked hard at a very young age. Excuse me. As the years went by, we grew up and started to leave home. Some got married, others found work away from home. I left at 16. I found a job doing housework and helping in a restaurant. After 2 years, I quit. Since the church I belonged was having a mission, I decided to go. I was praying for a new job. One morning coming out of Mass, I met a friend of mine. She asked me what I was doing. I told her I quit my job and was looking for something else. She told me they needed a girl at the rectory. She would talk to the housekeeper. The next day she said it was all arranged to go to see her after Mass. I got the job, stayed to help her with dinner, and she was cooking for a bishop and other priests that were invited. We both fell along so good from the very beginning. She was just like my mother, a saintly person. Taught me so many things that have helped me so much through the years, both spiritual and material. They were some of the most beautiful days of my life. We started our day with Mass at 7 o'clock. It was an 18-room house, a church the size of Old Mount Carmel, with a basement and two halls. There were two priests, one brother, and both of us. We had to take care of everything, all the cleaning, the altar, the washing, the cooking, the phone. One day I was at the rectory ironing. A religious article agent came to the door. The housekeeper took care of ordering what was needed for mission. She was in church fixing up the altar for St. Teresa, whose feast day was coming up. I went to call her. As I got there, a young man with a suitcase was talking to her. She introduced him to me. His family was very good friends with the pastor when they lived there some 25 years before. His father was a carpenter and did a lot of work around the church. The pastor invited him to stay at the rectory. He was put to work cleaning the cemetery for All Souls Day. Since it was October, there was rosary and benediction in church. I sang in the choir and he came and helped me. After a month, we went to stay with his cousin. He got a job working at a meat market. He would still drop by often to visit the priest and brothers. He returned to Illinois for Christmas. He always sent me a card for Christmas and Easter, but we never wrote letters. After 2.5 years, he wrote and asked me what plans I had for my life. I told him I was still waiting for the right person. The next letter I got, he proposed. I was shocked. I knew he was a very good Christian, the type of person I wanted, but I didn't really like his looks and I didn't love him. So I began to pray, asking the Blessed Mother to help me make the great decision. After 9 days, I answered him. We set the date October the 4th, the feast of St. Francis, one of my favorite saints. We were married by his brother, Father Silvio, on the same altar we met 3 years before. During the ceremony, I prayed, asking God to give me the grace to love him like a wife should love her husband. That prayer was answered in a very short time. That night we knelt and prayed together, asking God's blessing upon our life and to accept whatever he sends us. We promised never to even say the word before. We were married for life. And all we wanted was God's will. My husband said a beautiful prayer in Italian, and I loved it so much. Within 2 weeks, we were saying it together. Psalms 128, 1 to 4. Happy are those who have reverence for the Lord, who live by His commands. Your work will provide for your needs. You will be happy and prosperous. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in your home, and your sons will be like living young olive trees around your table. A man who obeys the Lord will surely be blessed like this. After 11 months, my husband was drafted into the Army and left September the 3rd, 1942. I was pregnant, far away from all my family and friends, whom I missed very much. I went back to Pennsylvania and worked until my baby was born. My husband went through basic training in Texas, then was shipped to Massachusetts to a port of embarkation. He got a 2-day pass to come home to see me January the 9th. When he left, he cried, thinking he wanted to be with me and couldn't. His records got lost and he stayed in Massachusetts 3 months. He was scheduled to be on the ship that sank with the four chaplains, but by the grace of God, his shipping orders were changed minutes before. In the meantime, he got home to see me every chance he got. Our daughter was born March 12th. She was a month old when he went overseas. He was home just 2 days before. I wrote to him every day, and he wrote as often as he could. After 2 years and so many narrow escapes, again, with God's blessing and grace, he came back, March 17, 1945, St. Patrick's Day. He called me from New York. We were both so happy to hear each other's voices. All I could say was, thank God you're back safe. I had the baby with me, and I let her talk to him. She said, hello, Daddy. My name is Josephine. Hearing her voice, he broke down and cried. It was just too much. It was just too much. He was sent to a hospital to recuperate. I moved back to Illinois. He was discharged in July. Then we both slowly started to get our lives put back together again. By October, he got a job and things were back to normal. A year later, our first son was born, September 28th. What a blessing. We named him Michael Francis Benjamin after St. Michael the Archangel, St. Francis, and Father Frank, the founder of Mount Carmel Church, whose birthday he was born on. He also baptized him. Four months later, I was pregnant again. And this continued every year until we had 13 months apart. Then the good Lord gave me a break. I didn't have any for 2 years. Then got three more, 1 year apart. 2 years after, we got number 10. John 1, 16. Out of the fullness of His grace, He has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. By that time, I was so busy, it didn't matter anymore. I offered everything up to the Lord, prayed to the guardian angel, did first things first. By 10 o'clock, I was too tired to do anything more. I thank God every day for all His blessings of health, strength, and happiness that He gave to me and all my family. By this time, our whole five-room apartment was just too small for us. We were looking for a house. It was April, and I was expecting our 11th, and I told my husband, if we don't find a house, we will have to hang the new baby from the ceiling. After we came back from Michigan, which I'll tell you about later, I unpacked all the boxes and told my son to put them in the garage so that when we can move. My husband heard me say this and said, you're really serious about moving, aren't you? I said, yes, I sure am. That day the new world came, now the Chicago Catholic. That evening Joe was reading it and came across an article describing a house for sale for a large family. He asked me if I would like to go see it the next day after he got home from work. Of course, I said yes. When we went to see the house, it was just what we needed. We talked to the owner and tried to get a reasonable price. Our only problem wasn't that we didn't have a penny. We would have to get the loan for the full price. So we went to see Joe's mother to ask her advice. When she saw how excited I was, she said to go back right away and buy the house before someone else does. Joe was still afraid to take the step, but I told him that God would never let us down. We were doing His will, and I was sure we would be blessed. I promised to do all I could to stretch our budget. 3 weeks later, we moved into the house. Luke 12, 27 to 31. Look how the wild flowers grow. They don't work or make clothes for themselves. But I tell you that not even King Solomon, with all his wealth, has clothes as beautiful as one of these. It is God who clothes the wild grass, grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, burned up in the oven. Won't He be all the more sure to clothe you? What little faith you have. So don't be all upset, always concerned about what you will eat and drink. Your Father knows that you need these things. Instead, be concerned with His kingdom, and He will provide you with all these things. Our baby was born, stillborn, 2 months later. We all were hurt by this, but it was God's will, and we had a little angel in heaven. A year and a half later, we had another. He was so cute that we couldn't help but love him. The older children played with him all the time. He was a real blessing. The next year, 1961, our oldest daughter was brought home from the high school by a teacher. She had a very high fever. I called the doctor and he prescribed some medicine and told me to check back with him in the morning. My daughter went straight to bed. I checked on her several times and gave her the medicine. 6 o'clock the next morning, she had her brother help her down the stairs. She was very sick. Since it was so early, I tried to call the doctor. By 8:30, he came, examined her, and immediately called the hospital to arrange for her admission. They put her into isolation and began running blood tests. She kept getting worse. By afternoon, they diagnosed her as having spinal meningitis of the most severe kind. The doctor told us that they would be giving her the largest dose of antibiotics possible through the IV. If that didn't work, she would die in 6 hours or less. All I could think was asking everybody to pray. We asked the churches, convents, schools, friends and members of the family. We were then told that once the IV medication had gone in, if she was still alive, we would have to transfer her to County Hospital. 4 o'clock in the morning, we were following the ambulance to the hospital. There we waited until they had her settled in, and we talked to the doctor in charge. She was so wonderful. She assured us that she would personally take care of Joseph. She would do all she could. But Joseph's life was in God's hands. There was no more we could do. So we went home praying all the way. The next day the phone rang constantly. Everybody wanted to know how she was and to tell us that they were praying for her. 4 days after 4 days she finally opened her eyes and talked. All we could do was praise God. He is so good to us always. After 11 days, she was allowed to go home. The doctor came to the house to check her out. Spinal meningitis can leave a person with any number of after effects such as paralysis, blindness, or brain damage. Nothing was wrong with her. She was perfectly healthy. He said it was a miracle. If you love God and do His will, He will never let you down. So trust in God and have faith. In 3 weeks, Josephine was back to school preparing to graduate. Psalms 106, 1-3. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord because He is good. His love is eternal. Who can tell all the great things He has done? Who can praise Him enough? Happy are those who obey His commands, who always do what is right. That year we had 4 graduations, 1 from high school, 2 from grade school, and 1 from kindergarten. 2 graduations were on the same day, so Joe went to one, and I went to the other. Thank God the kindergarten graduation was on another day. In 1962, our last child was born. We now have 6 boys and 6 girls. This is our family. Praise God. Now they are all grown. 9 are married. 3 are single. 1 son is living in Lansing in a Christian community. We hope someday that he will become a priest, but only if it's God's will. Our youngest daughter, Patty, lives with us. 3 other married daughters live here in the Chicago area. All the rest are in other states. We now have 16 grandchildren. Now I promise to tell you all about our place in Michigan. Well, here goes. Before my husband went into the Army, we bought a lot on a lake near Iron Mountain, Michigan. When he was in the foxhole with nothing but time, Joe made plans to build cottages so that his family would have a place to enjoy the summer. Once home, he started the project with the help of his father. They built a cottage every summer until we had 5. Each year, Joe got the summer off work because of the malaria he got in the war and could not take the heat. We would rent our cottages to friends and people on vacation. We would go up the day after school left out and return Labor Day. After 8 years, Joe was no longer able to take the summers off from work, so I had to stay up at the cottages with the children. By myself, and Joe would commute back and forth on the weekend. At that time, we also had bought a lot next door to the cottage so that we could be closer to our resort and renters. 2 days after, we moved into the cottage on the new lot. The one we had been living in burned completely to the ground. What a blessing that we were not in that house. With 7 small children, the oldest 10, we could never have gotten them all out alive again. God was there protecting us from harm. All our children loved to go up to the resort so much, they could hardly wait for the school year to end. For me, it was extra work, something I didn't need. But being an obedient wife and a loving mother, I always did it. One thing I always did was pray to the guardian angel. I think I kept him more busy than I was. I called on him to watch over all my children who were always in swimming and running around at play. He surely did a good job because none of them ever had any broken bones or got seriously hurt. The thing I worried about most was that they might drown, but because there were so many little ones, I couldn't stay with them. There was just too much to do, and I couldn't keep them out of the water. I am sure that God was walking with me through all those years. Psalms 40, 4 and 5. Happy are those who trust the Lord, who do not turn to idols or join those who worship false gods. You have done many things for us, O Lord our God. There is no one like you. You have made many wonderful plans for us. I could never speak of them all. Their number is so great. Psalms so many people ask me how I can be so calm and peaceful all the time. Well, when I was at the peak of my obligations with no one to help me, I read a short story in the Catholic Digest. It was about a woman who had 8 children of her own and then adopted her sister's 6 children after the parents were killed in a car accident. She said she had no time for anything. So she prayed to God and told him that she would do the work, but he would have to do all the worrying and providing. When I read it, it made me feel so good. Yes, that was the answer. It gave me peace to know that God was always there ready to help me. All I needed to do was put everything in his hands, and he would take care of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things will be given unto you. Colossians 2:6-7. Since you have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, live in union with him, keep your roots deep in him, build your lives on him, and become stronger in your faith as you were taught, and be filled with thanksgiving. This is all I want to do the rest of my life. Thank him for my wonderful husband, beautiful family, and many, many blessings that he has given me all through my life. Thank you, Jesus.